Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future and has been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to be listening to a recording I have of L.J. Hoschmeister. She is an author. She's written several series. The most famous is Ryan. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong. And she's written a new book, and it is really good. So here's L.J. Please don't call in. This is a recorded show.
Hi, LJ. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Anything new and exciting happening?
Oh, my gosh. It's been 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Since we last talked?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am excited to say I have the books right in front of me, actually. I've written three books. I'm working on my 10th book right now, and I've been in a couple anthologies, so it's been really nice. Things have been kind of taking off for me, and I'm very excited about where things are going.
Well, I'm glad you got your little crypt sheet, the books right there, so in case you needed to get a reminder.
Well, seriously, you know, it's funny when you're building these large worlds, you kind of forget. And so I do have to keep books in front of me and extensive notes. So I always joke that I'm not smart enough to put all this, 15 book series together, and it just keeps expanding. So, yeah, so I have them all in front of me.
I know. It's so funny because sometimes, maybe because I'm older, but I will blank out on something, and I know it. And I'll next sentence, I will say what I meant to say in the sentence where I blanked out.
totally understand. Sounds like me.
But it's like things that just come. I'm a very off the cuff interviewer, so it's just things that come to mind from what you're saying as part of the conversation. So it's not like I could have crib notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that reminds me of a movie, but I can't remember the name of the movie.
Yep. Well, I think it's just, like, extra embarrassing when it's the characters and world that you created and you're struggling to figure out, okay, which character was that and how did that happen? But in my defense, I think I reached 1 million words a couple years ago. So it's a lot to sift through sometimes.
I had a signing... I guess it was a few months ago, and a person came up to buy my book, and they started talking about my other book, and they started asking me intricate questions about a book that I wrote about 13 years ago.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm just going along with the flow. I have no idea what I'm talking about, because I don't remember.
it's an honor, but you're also like, I don't remember at all.
What was your frame of mind when you came to this point? Were you trying to do this with the character, or were you trying to do... I'm like, I have no idea. I don't remember my frame of mind yesterday.
Yep. Oh, that's great. I'm not the only one.
Oh, no. It's really weird. I mean, and now that as I get older, I get kind of worried because it's like... Sometimes, like, actors are I really like and appreciate, I will forget their name.
Yep. Well, at least it's written down. You've got all your books written down, so you won't go back.
Yeah, that is true. No, but he was asking what I was... It was like I was, like when you go to a convention and they're asking an actor who hasn't done, like, a movie since they were in their 20s and they're in their 60s, what were you thinking when you were doing this?
Oh, God.
I don't remember.
See, now that would be challenging, but, you know, so for me, I have a little bit of a cheat because I've kept a journal since I was, 9 years old, and I can kind of line up, you know, the situations in my life with the books I'm writing. So I can remember, and especially like the last few books, I was having some health challenges. So my poor characters were going through just hell in terms of, you know, getting injured or getting sick or whatever. So I could definitely tell that was on my mind. I don't know if you've experienced something like that.
Yeah, not with my novels, but with my fan fiction. I've given, I hurt people's backs because my back was hurt. I've given them really bad flu because I got the flu. I've done all kinds of nasty little things to my poor characters. Of course, they get lots of loving and happiness that I don't get, but hey.
Hey, you're channeling it, and it's just, you're making it known to the universe, so that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I threw out my back about, I guess about 15, 20 years ago. So every once in a while, I will make a wrong move and throw it out again. That is, it's not like all the time, and most of the time I'm fine, but when it does happen, it's like you can feel it, not just in your back, but everywhere. It's a terrible thing.
Absolutely.
I took the most healthiest person I could think of and gave them a bad back.
Well, I totally get it. I mean, you're working stuff out, you know, you're trying to figure out how to reconcile some stuff in your life that you just wish you didn't have, right?
Yep.
So, totally get it.
Well, don't we all? That's part of
absolutely.
Writing. I mean, just trying to work out your own demons.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I love it so much. And then the greatest thing is when you connect with a reader and, you know, maybe they're helped by your character's struggles and then eventual, you know, their triumphs too. So that's the most meaningful thing for me that I've found over the years.
I think that it's really interesting to talk to a reader. I love readers, but sometimes they're great, and then sometimes they find flaws that are so minuscule that you don't know it's there, and you wrote it, and they'll go into depth with you, and you're like, oh, yeah, really? Oh, I'm really sorry, but no, it's cool because these things happen. You're almost feeling like they're patting you on the head. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I've had that. Yep, I understand that completely.
Oh my god, it was so funny. I was at a book fair, and this guy said, well, it was about my time travel story, and he goes, isn't this like the butterfly effect? And I looked at him, I go, 99% of all time travel stories came from that. Even H.G. Wells admitted that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I mean, you can't really help but step onto that butterfly because it keeps... I mean, even... I just saw The Orville, which was in a magnificent two-part episode, and that was the butterfly effect.
I missed that.
Oh, it was really good. Really, really. I don't know if you watched the show, but...
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Kelly gets jerked into a little time bleep, which really wrecks everything. I won't tell you more than that because it's be a spoiler, but it's how everybody deals with everything in this. And it's done so well. I mean, I was floored. I mean, I love the show, but I mean, they handled it so delicately, and yet it was still Seth because it was full of humor still.
Well, that sounds like a nice break from all my zombie stuff, so I probably should check it out.
Oh, if you haven't watched The Orville, I'd catch up on demand. I mean, I don't get paid. I don't know these people.
No,
I'm just a fan. But
I always take recommendations.
Yeah, but it's a really good show if you like science fiction. And he does tips to Star Trek and Star Wars and H.G. Wells and practically everything from pop history. You know, it's Seth MacFarlane, so.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm in.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing later.
Definitely. Both seasons are good, but the second season is the best. But you should watch the first season if you've never seen it, because it builds up from the first season, like any good show does.
Wonderful.
And we're all praying for a third season.
that's the thing. I don't commit until I know everything's been completed, because I've had my heart broken before with Carnival.
But it's funny, because if this ends the show, it's okay, because he did it so beautifully.
Yeah.
It actually, some people don't agree with me, but my brother and I talked about it, and we both said, no, this ends it nicely if this is the end. We hope it isn't. But it was one of those, like, double, you know, it could be the end of the finale of the season, or it could be the finale of the show, because he made a beautiful ending to it. But it's still so open that anything can happen.
Oh, see, I like that. So at least you won't be tortured if they don't finish it.
Right. Yeah, because there's some shows that, like, I'm not a big... I watched it, but I wasn't a big fan. It was more like I was bored. Dynasty from the 80s. Did you ever see that show?
No, I never did.
There's one season where they had a terror attack, and they slaughtered half the cast, and you didn't know who lived and who died. And they were going to cancel the show at that point. And there was a writing campaign, so they brought it back. It was really weird.
Oh, my gosh. How could you do that? You just can't. Like, if you do something that drastic, you can't cancel. You owe the people at least one episode.
A movie. Something to end it.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
There's been a few of those where they, like, shows where they didn't have an ending. And then it was like... you're left floating in the air, because you, and especially when it's a even though they have standalone episodes, if it's a continuing story with these arcs, you have to have some ending. You know?
Yeah, we're on the same page for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so weird. I love science fiction, but I love mysteries and I love romance. I'm just like a mishmash.
Oh. So, let me pitch you my latest book, then.
Okay, I want to hear it. What's your latest book? Is it a mishmash?
Well, it's a mishmash. And actually, so, since I talked to you last, I actually signed with the Donald Moss Literary Agency, and my agent's Paul Stevens, and it was interesting, and I will get back around to the book, because I met Paul at a writing seminar that Kevin Anderson puts on called Superstars. And I'd actually just broken my nose, and I had surgery to fix it, and I was just feeling horrible.
Went with a broken nose?
Oh, just having surgery, and I didn't know it at the time, but I had a nasty sinus infection brewing, so I had a monster headache.
Oh.
I was in a terrible place, but, you know, and then you're going to altitude. You know, I live in Lakewood, but I was going down to, in Colorado. If I was going down the spring, so it's even higher elevation, so you're just messed up. So anyways, I just finished writing a science fiction romance book, and it is an interesting mishmash. It's like 50 Shades of Grey meets ER in space.
Ooh, so, I like it.
Yeah, so, and I think it's great, you know, because I wanted to write a book that, so my other job, I'm a nurse, and I wanted to pay tribute to my coworkers, because I have some of the best coworkers on the planet. We have a lot of fun. We get the job done, but, you know, we do laugh, and we take care of each other, and we have a great time. And so, but, you know, I also wanted to write about some of the struggles I've had in the past, and one of them was just being very rigid in my thinking when I was growing up, and then now I'm much more liberated and such. So I wrote this story, the science fiction fantasy story, a science fiction fantasy romance story about a nurse. Her name is Nyx, and she thinks she has the perfect life, a handsome boyfriend with a, you know, promising military career, and she's got her best friend at her side. They're traveling across the universe doing medical mercy missions. But then, this is the big, you know, this is how things get spicy. She's involved in a medical experiment that goes wrong, and Nyx ends up tethered to the mind of a wild and liberated virtual sex operator. So that makes it... I know. So you're taking a very, very conservative, uptight person, and you're putting them in the mind of somebody who's completely open with their sexuality, does a type of sex work, and, you know, I try to also keep it so it wasn't, you know, over the top and gratuitous. And there was, and, you know, the sex had purpose and all the stuff I did, but I wanted to put a lot in there, but also have a story and have it be about people and complex relationships. And then you throw in telepathy and, you know, a big galactic war and all this other stuff. So, so I'm explaining it fairly well to you right now, I hope. But the best thing, and the reason I wanted to tell you about Paul, was because I was obviously sick and broken and post-surgical, and I see him, he's hanging out at the bar, and I'm at this point so in pain and have a headache that I leave the actual seminar and go to the bar to get a Sprite, and I see him sitting there, so I kind of, you know, just say, hey, what's going on? And we just kind of commiserated about our you know, situations, because he wasn't feeling very well either. And then I, you know, eventually we started talking about what I wrote and, you know, his, what he likes and stuff. And I pitched him my book, and it was just so funny because, you know, when you think you're on point, but when you are that debilitated and so sick, I was like, you know, it's in space and some stuff happens. It was so, it was not my best pitch. Let's just say that. But the nice thing is Paul read it, and that was the book that got him interested in me as an author, and I signed with him later. It was very nice. So that book we're currently shopping, and I'm very excited about it because I don't think, you know, I personally have never seen anything like it, and that's why I wrote it. It was because I, as a 30-something-year-old woman who just wants, you know, a good Netflix and go to bed at night and a spicy novel, you know, I wanted to find this book, you know, something that was different, that wasn't Twilight, that wasn't your typical one-man, one-woman romance, that I wanted something different, that kind of showed all the colors of the universe. So I tried to at least honor the things that I understood and the things that I am still exploring, so that's why I wrote this novel. So I'm very excited about it. It's called The Laws of Attraction. And obviously it's not out yet because we're shopping it. It was funny too because I had pitched it to one of the editors at Tor, and she liked it, and she had just passed on it. So I was about to self-publish it, and that's when I hooked up with Paul. So hopefully this works out because I think I as a reader really wanted to read this, and I hope and my beta readers really liked it. And I hope it connects with other people and it helps them kind of explore their own challenges with sexuality and friendships and relationships, and, you know, it's entertaining. That's what we all need, especially these days, something that just is a little bit of escapism, a little fun, and a little challenging.
I understand that. I'm doing something sort of not like that at all, but it's sort of similar, and I was unsure because from what you're taught, you shouldn't mix different types of genre.
Yeah.
And So it was one of my I have readers for my books to be sure they're okay before I send it out, like you probably do too. And
yes, absolutely.
I sent it, and go, here's the first 5 chapters. Let me know if it's crap.
Yep. Yeah, you got it, you know.
Because it's like I said, it's mixed. It's like got romance. It's got sci-fi, it's got mystery, it's like one big mush, and well, it's not sci-fi, it's more fantasy than sci-fi, but it was like, I love this book personally, I am really loving it, I want to know what I'm writing it, and I want to find out what happens, but I don't know if anybody else will.
Yeah.
Is that how you felt?
Say again, I'm sorry, you cut out just briefly.
I said that I was writing it, but I was loving writing it. I wanted to know what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that feeling. Yeah, and especially when your characters, like, you really start to hear their voice and they become very three-dimensional, you kind of let them take over, and then that's when the adventure really begins, because you have some stuff lined out for them. I don't know how, you know, much you outline. I do basically a skeletal outline, so main plot points, and then I flesh out each character as much as possible, and an ending. And so I have a trajectory, but it always ends up a little bit more complex, or you veer off course, and it's fun. You know, it really expands and blossoms. So yes, I was very excited about the last 3 books specifically that I wrote where they went, because the last three books that I wrote were very much challenges for me. Things I swore I would never do. Like, I wrote a YA novel, I said I would never do that. I wrote a romance novel, said I would never do that. And then I wrote a strict military sci-fi novel, which I said I would never do that. And each one of them has been just a delight. You know, the things that I discovered about the characters, myself, the things I was facing in my real life, you know, stuff like that. So it was wonderful.
I think it's really fun. I know, and the other thing is that when you start exploring an area that you're not sure of, it gives you sort of the permission to do some crazy things.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Because that's what's happening. It's just this, and then I had the scene sketched out in my head, and all of a sudden, I brought two dogs into it. And I'm like, they were part of, one of the dogs was part of an earlier scene, and the second dog I kind of wrote in as I was writing the scene. And I'm like, is this crazy or what?
Hey, if you're feeling it in the moment, there's a reason for it, right?
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah, I know. My first book, Murder, Inc., I added a cat when I made it into a novel from a regular story, and I was like, why did I put a cat in?
Why not?
I know. That's what my publisher said. Well, if people like it, who cares?
Exactly. You know, just roll with it. If you like writing it, then your readers are going to pick up on it. They're going to be excited, too.
But do you ever do that? Do you, like, are you writing and something comes on to your, out of your head, pours out of your head that is totally, not just not plot that you pre-planned or a character that you didn't, but just something out of left field and you're like, what?
Yeah, I think it's mostly, action, reaction, and then advice, and so that characters give each other. Because sometimes, especially when I've been, you know, in my darkest hour, let's say, and I have to write, and I always try to give my books a satisfying ending, maybe not the happiest or the saddest, but, you know, something that makes sense, and, you know, with my overall belief in good triumphing over evil. But it's always surprising to me, like, what the mentor advises or the surprisingly good character advises, because, you know, that still comes from you. And when you are in your darkest hour and things are at their worst and you're writing these terrible things or whatever, and there's still a part of you that's able to say that, that somehow gives you hope, you know, and it's reaffirming that things are going to be okay. Like, there's still something in you that's fighting. So I know that sounds like very dramatic, but especially the last book that I wrote called Blue Sky Tomorrows, and it's going live May 7th. It's on pre-order right now. I was very sick the entire time I wrote that, and I was very depressed because we couldn't get a diagnosis, and I was living with chronic nausea and vomiting, and I was losing weight, and it was just awful, and I was still trying to work a full-time job and write and do all my normal activities. So my poor character went through hell, but it was really nice because one of the other characters kind of took him in and helped him along, even though that main character was so stubborn and so determined to do things on his own. And that's kind of what helped me, and especially reading it now when I'm in a better place and healthier and whatnot, I look back and, you know, that was life-saving for me, having that part of myself that still, like, that still had that positivity and that voice, even when I thought I was at my worst.
Yeah, I understand that. It's kind of crazy, though, you know? You think about
it.
It just, you never know what's going to pop out of your head.
And, no.
And you don't know what direct, because I don't outline, I write notes. That's what I do. I write a bunch of notes of ideas, and if an idea pops in my head, I write it as a note. And the notes I haven't done are in red, and the notes I have done are in black. So that's it's not an outline, but that's how I work.
Yeah.
But sometimes things that just, where are you from? What planet? Is that in my head somewhere?
I love it though, because you discover different parts of yourself that you didn't have a voice, you know, in certain parts of your life when it needed to have a voice, but now it does. And so it's wonderful in a way.
Yeah, it is. Do you have a book that's coming out now?
Yeah, May 7th, the one I just mentioned, Blue Sky Tomorrows. I was originally, my agent was thinking about shopping it around, but we decided, because it is actually a parallel novel to my Triorion series, that's a four-book series that's been out for a couple years now, it's a parallel novel. So, you know, since my indie series is already out, we decided that just to let that go for more indie publication, especially since I wrote it for my readers. You know, I wrote it for the people that, like Triorion, really wanted to know more about some of the side characters, wanted to know more about one of the characters' name is Jax. He doesn't have a huge voice in the first four books of the Triorion series, but he's one of the most powerful telepaths in the galaxy. And I wanted to tell the story of one of his, because they're in a military academy, him and his sisters, his triplet sisters. I wanted to tell the story of Jax from a different viewpoint, from a character that would be very surprising to be his friend. And so the other thing I wanted to explore was I have superhero fatigue. I don't know if you do, especially with all the movies coming out. You know, the Avengers is on that right now, right? Avengers Endgame. I'm just tired of that stuff. You know, I don't feel like I can relate to a lot of those characters because I, especially with some of the injuries and illnesses that I've had to deal with, I just feel like I'm just happy when I have a good day. You know, I don't feel like a superhero. So I wanted to write a story about somebody who wasn't your conventional hero, who was just kind of just a street-hardened kid who is really good at survival. And he, you know, he figures out a way to get into a military academy, this very elite military academy, after his world is destroyed, because his ultimate goal is to find his abducted sister. And he thinks if he goes to the military academy, he can, you know, somehow find a way to get to her, you know, through them or through his resources or whatnot. He can't stay behind on this war-torn world. And so, and then, you know, as he's so determined, so narrow-visioned in his quest that he doesn't see all the evil erupting around him and that there's a greater war going on until the end. And then it's up to him. He actually has the decision that is the most important decision. It determines, kind of like, you know, the butterfly effect. You know, one, you know, stepping on a butterfly could determine so much with the rest of the world going forward. And he has that decision. It's just a regular person who's unfortunately had a lot of bad luck in his life, and he's seen a lot of horrible things. So it's up to him to basically save the universe through his choices. So I wanted, it's like basically, somebody, one of my beta readers said it's like a street-hardened Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings meets Ender's Game. So I was trying to, especially since I just watched Lord of the Rings, I just came back from New Zealand, so I power-watched, you know, the whole Lord of the Rings. You know, Samwise is just so sweet and positive and whatnot. So to say a street-hardened Samwise Gamgee, there's something funny to that, but it is. And so that's my book that's coming out. Like I said, I wrote it for my fans. It's a parallel novel, but you can still read it if you haven't read any of the Triorion books. I think it's one of my most heartfelt novels. The editor, actually, she said she was reading it so fast, she had to slow herself down to, you know, actually do
her job.
So I think that's the best compliment, especially since she's a tough one, and I like her so much for that. So it really is my heart and soul. This last book, I didn't think I'd like this character as much as I ended up liking him, because he is so tough and he doesn't have powers and whatnot. But there is a sweetness to him and there is a loyalty and love to him. And he's only 10, so. I ended up like really reassessing all the stuff I write, and a lot of times I write from kids' perspectives, and I think I do it, I might have mentioned this in my last interview, I do it because there's so much potential. You know, you just don't know how they're going to turn out, and a lot of times I feel, especially with some of the characters and what happens to them, it's like their innocence is stolen. And I know that certain parts of my experience, I feel like that. I had mostly a great childhood, so I don't want people to read too much into that. But some things really do steal away your innocence, and so I wanted to kind of explore that. And then with my I call it my sexy novel, the Laws of Attraction, my romance sci-fi. That was fun because I got to talk about, I got to explore things that were more adult in nature and just be over the top and ridiculous, and I didn't have to be as conscientious of things as I do with my other novels. So I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
And, yeah, so that's my latest novel, and I'm very excited about it because it's coming with some cool artwork, and I'm doing a special release at Denver Comic Con, which is just right around the corner.
And what's the date that it's actually going to be available?
May 7th. So it's available for pre-order for ebooks right now. You can get the paperback now. It's tough because Amazon doesn't have pre-orders for paperback, so I just had to go ahead and push that publication through.
Okay. And you said you have a convention coming up. What's the date for the convention?
Oh, you asked me and I don't actually know. I'm so bad. I need to correct myself. It's actually Denver Pop Culture Con. I think they changed their branding. But I will be there. I think it's May 31st through June 2nd. And I will be there. I have a booth and I'll be selling stuff and giving stuff away. I really like taking care of my fans, so if I have the means and the ability and new stuff, I usually give away stuff for free.
Cool. And do you have, a website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those things that you'd like to give out to the fans so they can say hi?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty easy to find because my name is super unique, being LJ Hackmeister, and I write under my own name. And then my website is triorian.com, if I had to do it all over again today, I wouldn't spell it the way it's spelled because it doesn't sound like it was spelled. But that's the best way. If you just Google my name or you Google Triorian, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all those things. I'm kind of an old lady, so I haven't done Instagram yet. That's for the kids, you know. So.
You know what's really funny? When I first started doing conventions, I got some interns as assistants so they could watch the booth while I did my panels.
Yeah.
And one of the girls put me on Instagram, and I refused to go on it. I had her do all of it, and then when she left because her time period was over, I was like, but I don't know how to do anything. And she just gave me the information, and that was it. And so now I'm on it, all the time. It's so much fun, and especially, like classic television or classic movies. They have all these clips of stuff that, the older actors. I know most kids will go to the popular, but I enjoy it because they have Sammy Davis Jr., Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett, our TV shows like I Love Lucy and the Carol Burnett Show and Jack Benny, and that's what I'm enjoying it for. I know that sounds really bizarre, but that's what I'm doing.
I'm on board. I totally get it.
I go onto Twitter for business. That is pure business because I don't see how you can be friendly when you're doing those tiny little bits that you do on Twitter. I'm friendly on Facebook, and the rest of it I'm not, but Instagram and Facebook Tumblr too, but Instagram and Facebook seem to be the place where you can really connect to people and make friends, whereas most of the other social media, I don't feel the same way.
I've taken a break from social media. I'm still on it, but I haven't been doing a lot lately because we just finished getting back from New Zealand, but I'm not the greatest at it. I'm okay, but I will always respond to people if they contact me.
Also, you said that the way you spell Triorian is different. Could you spell it so they can find you?
No problem. It's TRIORION.
Okay. And we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.